Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. And today is February the 20th, 2014. And on my show today is James Martinez, who is a spiritual man of God, who's met with the God our Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, both here on earth and while in heaven. James has recently transcended the world with them. He also has authored the book, Once Upon a Transcended Realm. So, good afternoon, James. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, Technisha. Thank you so kindly for having me on your show, and God bless you and everyone listening. God bless you.
Thank you. It's an honor for you to be on this show today. And I just feel today's episode is going to be very spiritual. It's something special that I have been praying for some time, asking the Lord for a show that was all prophetic words for listeners, because I know that one word from the Lord can change your life. It can also keep you from going the wrong direction during times of discouragement. This show is the answer to that prayer. It is all about you, audience and listeners. Other than a few things I mentioned, it's all prophetic words for the listeners. Only you will know if one of these words is for you. I don't know who they are for, other than what I was shown about who they were for. Oh, and the message to the woman with the two little girls, I saw light blonde hair on the older girl. So tell your friends, one of these words may be for them. God bless you all. And James, let's get into about James. James, tell us more about you.
Well, okay. Let's start back at the beginning. You know, I wasn't always an upright person. I had a lot of unrighteous ways about myself. You know, more than a decade ago, I was the kind of person that when people saw me coming, they went the other direction. And, you know, that's a profound statement, but if you look throughout history, God's always worked with individuals like that, and I think it's for a number of reasons, but mostly I think it's because of when he fixed the broken, they know where they came from, and they don't want to go back to that, you know, and I believe that, and what he's done for me is he's completely changed me into this new person, and it's by his grace that I am who I am now, and I give him all the glory and all the grace and all the thanks every day with my life. So where I started and where we are today is night and day. You know, literally, I feel like I'm living in the light, like I'm walking upright with him, thanks to him. But, you know, when I look at my background, I have more of a technical, analytical, engineering background, computer science, engineers, things like that. And I was moved in this spiritual direction. And because of that person that I was back there, I had so many questions that I needed to have answered, like we all have. And I went searching, and I went searching for him and the truth and understanding. And I found, you know, all these incredible insights, spiritual insights, that have allowed for me to piece together understandings, religious understandings, biblical understandings, and come together and present them in a way that, you know, points to God our Father, but more so through the path of Christ and what Jesus has done for us. And if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be able to express these things. So I give thanks to Jesus, and I do so to God our Father through him. So there's amazing things that I've been a part of, and I have to give it all up to him. So, you know, everybody listening that's listening to the show or in future who's listening to the show, I didn't do any of this. I can't do any of this. This is all coming from God. I'd like to thank you and say God bless you for that.
It's a blessing, and God works in so mysterious ways. He comes through certain ones just to give you that message. And, James, you're the one he came through. I would also love for you to explain about the Trinity, if you don't mind,
sure.
James.
Absolutely. You know, when it comes to transcendence and transcending and what that really is it means to rise above. We're all transcendent. We all face problems and issues in our everyday life, everything. Sometimes it's something as small as missing the bus or, you know, getting you know, rear-ended on the way to work, or, you know, losing your job, or whatever the situation might be. We're called to rise above it. We're meant to transcend our problems, our issues. Well, on a larger scale, we're also meant to transcend the world, to rise above it. And Jesus showed us how to do that when you walk in that way. When we are literally transcending, when we transcend the world, we can overcome the world. And Jesus showed the way. He literally showed us. He said, if you follow in my steps, you can do this. So what I did with their help is I learned how to walk. I didn't even know how to stand, you know, and a lot of people out there have the same problem. You have to learn how to stand up before you can walk, right? And in order to be able to walk, you got to learn how to do it. Well, when he started showing me, when God started showing me, I didn't, you know, have the courage or the ability or understanding or any of that. I just knew that I wanted something better. I knew that where I was at wasn't working. Everybody that was around me was either mad at me or, you know, worse. They wanted to do things to me. But, you know, thanks to him, I learned how to stand up. And then once I learned how to stand up, I learned how to walk. And then we went to do all these other things. But, you know, when it really comes down to it is that you have to have trust and you have to have faith and you have to believe and you have to exercise your faith in him to allow for things in your life. And that's when we are able to really do the things that Jesus allowed for us to understand, is that all things are really possible with God so long as you believe. And that's where it really begins, I think, for everybody. But, you know, so many people I know, especially from my past, and there are probably a lot of people out there right now that struggle with this, is there's a lot of doubt, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of disbelief, there's misunderstandings, you know, and that's just on a personal level. If you get into a religious or a political viewpoint, then it changes everything, and then, you know, have walls and barriers and fingers pointing and all these different other issues that happen after the fact. But, you know, we've got a lot of understanding and a lot of growth to do because we're coming to a spiritual awakening on a global scale right now. You know, so many people are coming to an understanding of there's something else. What's it all about? You know, and if we don't have that right direction, I think that, you know, we might be prone to go in a different way, you know, and we can't just make it up as we go along. I mean, not really. You know, we have a certain way, I think, that we're called to live, and that takes us back to what God our Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit have showed us, and that's the truth and the way. So I'm really hoping to be able to be that example for everyone, hopefully, God willing.
Oh, God willing, you will be. If he said God brings his angels everywhere, and he will send someone to you directly just to give you that message, he will keep bringing them to you just for you to hear him. He's powerful, and whether people believe it or not. And I think even if you want to be an atheist, you still have something in you that tells you that if someone's doing something. But James, I really thank you for that message. But why do you think you were chosen for this experience to happen to you?
Well, you know, I've been asked that a few times. And, you know, I think it's the same reason that you are the person that you are. I think it's God's will. But I also think that this isn't something exclusive to me. Like, I think that we're all capable of having these kinds of transcendent experiences, to meeting with God, to seeing Jesus. I think we're all able to do this. So I'm not trying to say that this is an exclusive thing for me. I'm trying to encourage everyone, and I'm hoping to encourage everyone to do this, to go out and develop these kinds of relationships with God. Jesus showed us we can all have these relationships with our Father so long as we do it through this way. And that's what so many people are challenged with. You know, a lot of people that I know that call themselves religious, and no offense to anybody listening or anything like that, I'm not saying this is about everybody, but there are some people that call themselves religious but leave God at church on Sunday, or that, you know, practice their spirituality or their understanding of their religion on a convenient basis. You know, when it's inconvenient, then it doesn't apply. You know, and that kind of behavior does not merit the kind of relationship that I think we're all supposed to have. It's supposed to be an exclusive relationship between us and God, and as we cultivate and nourish that relationship, we start growing stronger in our abilities. You know, and there's so many people right now that don't have that because I think that they've got it maybe their limitations of what they think they're capable of or what they're allowing for within their lives, or however they're unwilling to be accepting of God or this relationship or their abilities, I think. But, So I think that, you know, with what I'm working on right now, I'm hoping to help people to bridge that gap of misunderstanding, perhaps, you know, draw in a little closer, you know, start exercising their faith in wonderful things and start living, I think, in a way that we're truly capable of. That's what I hope for us, and that's what I'm praying for.
Yeah. And I always learned that God often speaks directly into your mind if you would set aside the time to pray and wait for his answers. If he needs to meet, you have to be clean. God is a cleanly spirit, and that's what he wants. You got to be with a pure heart.
Right. Absolutely. That's a very good point. You know, when I had an opportunity to, and I'll share a little bit of the story that I've been involved with, I got called up a few times, and I feel so fortunate to be able to say this because I know how fantastic it is. I had no idea what was going on while it was happening, but it happened a few times, and I got called up. One of the times that I got called up, I got a chance to meet with God. And as I'm meeting there, one of the things that came out was that God found me. And God says, no, you found me. And I thought, wow, you know, how does that work again? And, you know, God's really with us all the time, but it's up to us to make that connection and to make him a part of our lives because he's already there. But to build that relationship, I think, is a challenge for a lot of people that are misunderstanding of the Word of God or the relationships or, you know, are really what we're supposed to be doing here, I think. But, you know, it does take a pure heart to be able to get there. They say enter through the gates with thanksgiving and praise and into his courtyards with thanksgiving, right? And that was exactly what happened to me in that moment. You know, I had literally got onto my knees, and I was in this completely submissive prayer position that I'd never been in before, but I had this love and affinity for him, and I thought, wow, this is wonderful. And as I sat up, I had been literally called up to those wonderful places. It was beautiful. It changed my life, one of the starting points, I think, for the journey. But, you know, we had a lot more experiences to talk about and to have along the way. And it's such a challenge for a lot of people to grasp, you know, people that are either in their understanding of what they think religion is supposed to be about or what their understanding of God is supposed to be out because of what their religion says. There's a lot of things that people have to get past as far as misunderstandings about this experience. Once they really start to understand the enormity of what he's really doing here, I think it's going to really help a lot of the faithful to open their eyes and rejoice and give thanks for this incredible blessing. And then at the same time, I think it's going to help a lot of people that are misunderstanding or lost or are, you know, living away from him to start taking notice and maybe start inquiring about where they can go. I'm hoping for that.
Well, James, very interesting. I would like to know, what was your first experience of being in the presence of God like?
Wow. Okay. You know, it was really wonderful. I had transcended literally through a vortice. Vortices are the white light at the end of life. You know, everyone's going to see it in their lifetime, whether it's right at the very end or the beginning of their next life, or during a near-death experience or in an out-of-body experience. But we visit through these vortices every night when we go to sleep. We attach to the closest one to us, and we go off somewhere and we dream. We come back and we wake up. But I had transcended literally in this remote way out of myself to heaven through one of these vortices, and I had literally made my way to heaven. And as I got there, I made it to his crystal palace. And as I showed up, he was there, and there was about 30,000 approximately people all rejoicing, having a wonderful time. And a few moments later, after I had introduced myself to quite a few of the people that were there, this person walks up to me and he says, what are you doing here? And I thought, well, you know, I'm here and meeting these wonderful people and having this great time. And he says, no, but seriously, what are you doing here? And I explained how I'd gotten there and what I'd been a part of and everything. And he said, wow, that's amazing. Then he introduced himself as God. And I thought, like, God, God? And he says, yes, I'm God. And I thought, wow, really nice to meet you. And we started talking. We became friends. And that's really when it first started. But, you know, he's a very amazing person. He's very understanding, completely understanding. He's very, oh, gosh, there's so many words I can use to describe him, but it's just the best of everything, you know, as far as personality goes and those characteristics and virtues and traits, because that's what really we see when we see wonderful things inside of people down here, is we see his character in them. So when you think about all the loving characters you've ever seen inside of anybody and bring those all together and put them at one spot, that's what it would be like, just meeting somebody of that kind of charisma, you know, that kind of character. But, you know, he was so wonderful, and we got a chance to talk for a few hours, and he introduced me to Jesus. Jesus was out there, and we talked for, you know, a while longer. If I could put a few hours on it, it would be about 4 to 6 hours. And then after the experience, I thought, wow, that's wonderful. You know, it was really nice to meet you guys. I hope to see you again, and I'm going to go. And then I came home and thought, and I sat up, and I thought, well, that wasn't a dream. I didn't die. That wasn't a hallucination. That was real life. That just happened. And then a few days later, God shows up at my house, literally shows up, came over to the house, and he says, we got to talk now. And I thought, okay. And that's where our friendship went in this new direction. And when he came over to the house, he brought this sweet-smelling fragrance. It was like the sweetest roses you could imagine smelling, you know. And I found that out later in the Bible, that he had a sweet-smelling fragrance or a sweet-smelling aroma or something like that. And it smells like the sweetest roses you could ever smell. Like, try to imagine, like, the sweetest peach you've ever tasted, how sweet that is. Well, put that sweetness up to your nose in the scent of a rose, and that's what it smelled like throughout my house for 4 days. I mean, it was just wonderful. That was one of the first meetings.
Oh, wow. God just all for you. I mean, it's wonderful. And as James and I was discussing, if you just want to hear from God, you must tune out the static from your receiver. It's just like television. Tune it out. If you want to concentrate, turn that TV down. Just turn it down low and just listen. James, let's talk about your book. Let's talk about your book. What will people actually find in this book? Why should they read it?
Well, I would advise anybody to read it. I'd advise everybody to read it, really. But I would say that if you're looking for spiritual understanding on a deeper level and to get some meaning behind some of the stuff that we've been so perplexed about, like the connections that we make to one another, like the energy that we have and the responsibilities that we have towards our energy, like our thoughts and our emotions and how we interact with one another, but also the effects that we have on one another just by feeling a certain way. You can walk into a certain room and make somebody feel a certain way by your feeling a certain way. So we have that kind of ability and responsibility at the same time. You know, I talk a lot about our chakras because I stumbled upon all this stuff without reading a book or without really having a strong sound of grasping of the Word of God or having a close relationship. You know, I was living in an unrighteous way, and all this stuff started happening to me. You know, I met with angels. Literally every hierarchical form of angel I battled a lot of demons, and I overcame them by the grace of God, and he literally cleansed me. You know, the Holy Spirit cleansed me of those demons that I had, and I think that some people are still challenged with those kinds of things in their life. But, you know, I would advise people to, if they're looking for answers when it comes to, like, understanding of our spiritual energy, what we're able to do, our chakras, how we communicate, but also, like, near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences, and also if you're curious about what that white light is at the end of life and what, you know, we're capable of, I think that it all really points to God. And, you know, there's scientific stuff in here, I think, that people, scientists, PhDs, doctorates, people like that, will be able to piece together really that proof that they've been looking for about God. You know, there's miracles in this book. There are all different kinds of spiritual insights, like how God communicates with us and how he communicated with me. But I'm sure he does that with other people as well, like through songs or through other people or, you know, the kinds of things that when you know what happens, you're like, now that was God. I know that came from him, you know, things like that. I would just advise that if people are really looking to make a connection like that and see somebody that has and is showing other people that we're capable of doing this, you know, it talks about walks with God, you know, walking through gardens, the kinds of things that I think that I hope we all do and we're all capable of because we all have our own garden. You know, and that's a beautiful thing, beautiful thought to have right there, I think. But, yeah, that's what I would say about the book. You know, it's a challenging read, though. It might take a few times to really grasp it all. You know, I'm sure people will be studying it for a little while, but it took me 10 years of research to be able to put together what I know in this book. So it might take a little while to understand it.
Well, it does take a while to understand God, and sometimes you just have to you have to pray about it to get that understanding.
Definitely.
James?
Definitely.
Well, but James, what were you in life when you began to search?
Wow. You know, I was in a very, I was in a dark place, you know, personally.
Oh.
Yeah, I was caught up in myself. I was very selfish, self-centered kind of person for many years. You know, I'd like to thought at the time that it was okay because I saw other people doing it, or, you know, I lived mostly for what I wanted, how I wanted to give to myself. And I'm sorry to say that, you know, God forgave me for those things. I'm glad for him forgiving me of it. But, you know, I know that I wouldn't have become the person I am today had I not gone through those experiences. But when I look at other people where they are in their walk, you know, I understand what they're going through, and I pray and hope for them to get through that stuff because I know what things like that ultimately get to. But I don't judge them or condemn them or talk down or even think down of them because I know that I had to go through the stuff that I did to get to where I needed to. So I know that other people are going through what they need to get through to get to where they're going. So we're all on a walk. We're all on our journey. Hopefully we're getting there. Hopefully we all get there. I really do hope for that. But, you know, we all have to go through the things that we need to. And, you know, we can't bring anybody down. We got to encourage them and we got to pray about that. And we got to lift them up to get to where they need to get to. You know, and I think that's part of the responsibility of having the word in our lives. And once we get to that place, we get to be the example, right? We get to be that light of God for them. And I pray that for everybody. I do. But when I started, it was in a pretty bad place. You know, I was out drinking quite a bit, you know, and, you know, I'll say this right now, and I have no secrets. I've taken drugs before in my past. I've lied. Mm-hmm. I've cheated. I've stole. I've done everything wrong there is to do. There's no denying that. God told me that. And he says, literally, he says, you have done everything wrong. And I said, okay. And he says, I don't want you to ever do it like that again. And then I repented from all that, from every single thing that I've ever done, I repented. And that means that I had literally felt bad for the things that I did. I stopped what I was doing, and I went in a better way back toward him from every single wrong thing I've ever done. And thanks to him, I get to live with him every day in love, and I don't ever have to go back to that. You know, it really made sense to me about why Jesus had come to the world because of the things that I had done. I mean, as well as every other person who was out there sinning or had done sin, I know that I had done those things wrong. Had Jesus not come here to save me from that, you know, I don't want to think of what the outcome would have been. So I thank Jesus for that. But, you know, now that we're moving in this other way, it's part of my testimony to be able to talk to every single person out there having a hard time with the things that I had suffered through. And, you know, hopefully I can help them, you know, get to a better place, God willing.
I hope so, too. Well, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with James discussing more of his chosen path. And do call in at 347-426-3751.
That's awesome. We're having a great show. We're having a great show, Tanisha. I like your show.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
All right. We're back to our guest, James Martinez. And James, I'm glad that you are on the show. And we do have a caller online. caller.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Doing wonderful.
All right. What is the show about today? I'm late getting on call. I'm out here on the bus helping my sister pay her bill. So what is it about today?
Well, this James is talking about how he became one with God. He's a spiritual man of God who has met God our Father, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit, both here on earth and while in heaven. And he's recently transcended the world with them. And he also authored a book, Once Upon a Transcendent Realm. And James was explaining his experience with God because he has met with God as well. But what I would like to understand, why don't you consider yourself a religious man?
You know, I've been asked that a couple of times as well. You know, I try not to put a religious context into things that I talk about because, you know, when you start bringing religion into a conversation, people automatically start bringing assumptions into what they expect from you or what they're willing to understand or how far their understanding allows for, you know, whether it's the same religion or not. It could be, you know, somebody from Buddhism or Islam or, you know, even from a Hindu perspective. But walls and barriers and that separation starts when you start bringing religion into a context, and especially, you know, that kind of verbiage. So I leave the religious part out, and I talk from a spiritual perspective because if you really understand where God is coming from, he's a spiritual being, and he created the material world that we live in from his spiritual state. So we are really spiritual people having a material experience. So when I talk about the truth of what God has given to me, it's the word of God and how he's allowed for me to understand it. But it comes from a spiritual understanding. So I express myself in that context. You know, I believe in God our Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And, you know, if you want to call me a Christian, that's okay too. But I have to say that I consider myself spiritual before anything else because of where we stand. But, yeah, I hope that answers the question a little.
Oh, go ahead, James.
I'm religious too. I try to share the word. But I don't care what people say, but I know what God has done for me because I come from child abuse. I could have been dead and gone a long time ago. Mm. And I've been through a lot of stuff in life, but I thank God for his amazing grace. He's held on to me for all these years. I'm still here sharing his word.
That's wonderful. It's a wonderful gift, you know. His grace is amazing.
I'm calling from Norfolk, Virginia.
Wow, you know, it's tough all over. It is. You know, everybody has their difficulties that they face. We all have to face adversity. That comes with the job of being alive. You know, we're all meant to overcome them. And that's part of the beauty of having that faith and trust in God. When you allow for that in your life, you know that whatever we face, we've got this already. We've got it.
Yes, sir.
Thanks to him.
You know,
that's beautiful.
You know, I'm glad that you said that you are a spiritual person instead of religion, because usually when you do talk about religion, people get offended, or it's always a debate. You should have to argue when it comes to God. No one should have to debate over the questioning of God. We shouldn't.
That's right. That's right. You know, when you really get down to it, we're all praying to the same one. We're all praying to the same God. I mean, as long as it comes from a loving place, we're praying to the same God. You know, he just goes by different names because of different places in the world. And hopefully we can get past those misunderstandings of religion. And I'm hoping to help people with that. You know, right now we got a lot of things going on in the world right now because of misunderstandings. I think that we need to open up our heart and remember that we're really all brothers and sisters here. We're all here to help one another to do this in a loving way with God. Yeah, that's what we're here for.
I would like to know why you think people don't experience God like I have been taught I should, but they don't hear his voice. If Christianity is for real, why are they not able to have experiences of God?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think it has to do with where they are in their heart, you know.
Okay.
And if you know about hardened hearts, you know, you have to get through a certain barrier. You know, we have in our lives, there are certain people that we know You know, and that's everybody. We know people out there that have misunderstandings or that don't live in an upright kind of way. And because of that, they choose unrighteousness. And you can hear it through their conversations, whether it's obscenities or profanities or the way that they're living in immoralities or, you know, in ungodliness. And they just make that their way. And that's not a godly way. A godly way is filled with upright virtues and morals and principles and practicing that every day. You know, being kind, being loving, being generous, forgiving, right? Having that way. So when you have a hardened heart or you have people out there that are living in that way and they've made that their way, well, it's hard to see love when you can't feel it. Or it's hard to be in love when you don't understand it or you're not allowing for it. So, you know, we have to get to a certain place in our lives that allows for our hearts to soften, and we have to start believing and praying and really come into a state of humility and letting go of ego and ourselves. And once we get to that place, then we're able to really allow for God into our lives. But he's there. If we just look, we can see him. You know, he's there every day. And everything we do, he's there. We have to open up our eyes and listen and hear him and really look for him. And I hope that everybody does that because that's really what we're capable of, having a wonderful relationship with him.
Yes, and that's the main purpose. Can you give us – what is actually the difference between being religious and spiritual? Is it that much difference in between them?
It's really not. When you look at spirituality, what religion is, first off, religion is a materialized form of our spirituality. Now, our spirituality is our relationship that we have with God. That's what we're supposed to nurture and grow and develop. And it's based on his love, his virtues, his principles, his morals, having those perspectives in our lives and living within them. That's a spiritual connection that we have to him. You know why we're so connected to nature is because we feel that spiritual connection to it. And it's really him because he created it, and it's the beauty that he made for our lives. So we connect with that in a spiritual level. When you connect with other people and you show grace, you're expressing your spirituality. So we are all spiritual in that respect. Now, what mankind has done and what we do is we create religion to express our spirituality in a materialized form, and to bring people who haven't made that connection yet closer to God by example, through prayer, through, you know, faith, through meditation, through, you know, different kinds of expressions and praise and worship to be able to express our spirituality. So there's really no difference in it, but one is the way that we feel, and I think that's our true spiritual self, and the other one is religion, and that's the form that it's taken in a material world. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. It's deep, and it might sound confusing to people, but it does.
Yeah. And I hope we get to a better understanding of really what we're supposed to be doing, because so many people right now look at religion as like a they don't like it because they don't understand it, or maybe they've had other people that they've known that were so-called religious people that gave them a bad experience with religion, and all of a sudden they turned them away from God instead of being the example for God. You know, a lot of people still have that problem right now. You know, they go to church on Sunday and they give thanks and praise, but then when they walk out, they act like they don't even know God, and then they walk around and do all these bad things, and then next Sunday go back to church and ask for forgiveness. Well, between that Monday and Sunday, if you're out there being a poor example for other people to see in that religion, it's going to turn people away from it. You know, it's going to turn people in a bad way. So, you know, you get people out there experiencing religion in that way, and, you know, they're getting pushed away from it, or you have other people out there that can't understand the word of God because they don't have the insight to grasp those virtues and principles yet. So they're still misunderstood. But, you know, a lot of it really, again, has a lot to do with how we're going to be able to make it through the world. You know, there's no rule book, really. I mean, the Bible's there to give us that example, but there's no guidelines exactly how to do it. We're all trying to do the best we can. And I think that if we can come to a better understanding of how to apply this into our everyday lives, we'll have a way to stand up, and then we'll have a way to walk, and we'll have a way to develop that relationship on a daily basis, I think. And that's really what I think what it means to pray without ceasing, to get to that place in your relationship with God where you're literally in a constant prayer all day long because you're in a conversation with him. Come on, God, we're going to go check the mail. You ready? Let's go. Let's go check the mail. God, we're going to go grocery shopping. You ready? Let's go. You know, everywhere you go, you're with him, and that's what I think it means. Yeah. But that's a special place.
Yeah, he's a best friend. He does everything that you want. He's your mother, your father. He's every form of any person that you want, and that's what I love about him.
Yeah.
But you know, some people probably ask, why would God create humans knowing what a vast number of them would suffer in this life?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, I don't think that he wants us to suffer the world. You know, I know that for a fact. God wants us to overcome whatever challenges we face. But there are two different kinds of suffering, if you really look at it. There's the kind of suffering that suffer for the sake of righteousness. Christ did it. You know, we do it when we walk in that way. We face persecution. I'm facing that right now. You know, we all do. When we proclaim our faith in God and we allow for that to be what we live for, you can be for certain that there are going to be people out there that come against you because of what you're standing for. So there's a difference between being, facing that kind of suffering. You know, and I look at the apostles. They all went through it, right? If you look at every spiritual person who we've known from Gandhi to, what was the man from South Africa a little while ago that, he suffered through his persecutions as well. But the point I'm trying to make is that when you suffer the world, then you are suffering in a foolish kind of way because that was the kind of suffering that I had done. I brought that stuff upon myself, whether it was through my poor choices or, you know, trying to serve myself or giving what I wanted to desire or, you know, those kinds of things. When you do things like that that are away from God, we're still going to face those kinds of sufferings that are out there. But because we decide to do that in another way, we have to do it according to what the world wants to give us. So when we suffer, we got a choice. We can suffer, you know, in a righteous way, which we're supposed to count as all joy anyway, because there's a purpose for that. You know, God's getting glory, and we're getting testimony, and there's something wonderful on the other end of that. Our faith grows. Or we can suffer the other way, suffer the world, and not really get anything from it. And more times than not, we have to repeat that cycle. Have you ever made a mistake and you don't get the lesson? You got to repeat it, and you got to repeat it, and you got to repeat it. So, hopefully we figure that part out. But, there's a lot of that going on in the world right now, you know, even in governments that aren't doing it the right way, I think, you know. And, definitely.
And that's why we have to put our trust in God. We don't need to let, no offense, we don't need to let President Obama, rap artists, be the role models for us. We need to let God be the role models. We should be the role models for our children. So that's how this needs to work. But like you were saying, until you get to understand it as one, you can't teach anybody else nothing until you get that understanding.
That's right.
But James, what event in your life made you want to get this experience?
Wow. You know, I don't know if it was a choice. I just felt that it was something that I needed to have. It came right around the time of my spiritual awakening. You know, hopefully we all awaken in this world. You know, I've met a few that are still shut off to the idea that there's even that notion of a spirit. There really are some people out there right now. No offense if anyone's listening and you're taking that position, but there are people out there that are unaware that we have this gift, and it's an awakening. Jesus spoke of it. He talked about it, about being reborn. But, you know, I think the reborn process is part of the spiritual awakening. I think we have the responsibility to enlighten ourselves, you know, with spiritual insights and knowledge and understanding. I think that's the word of God. But when we come to that awakening part, you know, that's when all these things that are really out there become, you know, a part of our lives, or they have the potential of becoming a part of our lives. Some people deny that process. I embraced mine, and I thought, wow, I got to figure this out. You know, I think that's the engineering part in me going, what's this all about? We got to go. We got everything else took a back seat. I dropped everything. I said, I got to find out what this is. And I started looking everywhere. I turned over every rock. I looked behind every bush. You know, I was trying to find the answers to what this was about. I couldn't piece it together just yet, but it eventually led to these divine experiences with God. And I thank him for that with my life. Thank you, God. It's amazing. Awesome.
Everybody should be thanking God right now. This is deep. And as I said before, my listeners, this is the time to try to make that change. This is the right moment. James is either proof of the all. But you mentioned that you began to see things. What did you actually see?
Well, I started seeing supernatural things that were and are still very misunderstood right now. I started seeing the things that, the religion of Hinduism, okay? You know, people are familiar with that religion. They worship the gods that are blue. They, they're blue people. They have different faces. You know, they're gods. They have a face on their front, face on their sides, face in the back. So they worship these different types of deity. Well, I started meeting those people that they worship. I started visiting with them. I started going to the places where they come from. So I made relationships with them as well. You know, I started being able to have visitors and to meet these otherworldly beings. And that's some of the stuff that are still being trying to be discerned through the book. I didn't explain that very well in my first book. I'm trying to write a little more about some of those understandings. But basically what I had become a part of were these otherworldly experiences that allowed for me to meet with supernatural beings, angels, demons. You know, I wasn't meeting with them. I was more battling the demons. But I would also have these supernatural visitors that would come over. And sometimes there would be one or two or 100 of them. And we would sit and talk for a little while. I wasn't sure if I was, you know, hallucinating or if I was going, you know, crazy or what was going on at the time. I didn't get it. So I didn't talk for a few months until what they started telling me started to happen in the future. Like, literally, they said I was going to start doing some things, and that stuff started to happen. And I thought, wow, okay, there's something here. What's this all about? Then I really started looking. But I just started making some of these other discoveries that these are those supernatural beings that the Hinduism religion, which is about 3,000 or 4,000 years old now, they've been understanding of those supernatural beings that I had met with for years. If you look at their religion and all their statues and their gods and their deity, they're based on these individuals that I had started seeing, and I write about them in my book, you know, from, you know, the individual with the bovine head, the cow head that I had met. There were blue people, you know, different people with different facial features that kept changing. And those are their deities that they've made statues to for thousands of years. So I moved past those understandings to a different place. And, you know, I started seeing these otherworldly things that were just beyond understanding. And I took notes all along the way, year after year, trying to piece it all together. And then when I finally came to an understanding of how it all started to work, that's when I was called up, and God says, okay, do you understand what all this is about? And I said, well, I'm putting it together. And he says, okay, great. We're going to have these great experiences, and I'm going to give you the first line of the book, the last line of the book, and you're going to get out there and go write about all this stuff. Can you do it? And I thought, sure, I can do it. He said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. He said, okay, start at the beginning and keep it simple and direct. I'm going to be with you the whole time. And this is what we've been working on for the last couple of years. The first book just came out last year, and I'm working on the second one right now. God willing, it'll be out, you know, soon. But I think it's really, you know.
Oh, well, I can't wait. I can't wait for it to come out. I'm excited for you already.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited. Yeah. It's a wonderful experience.
It is. It feels good. You have accomplished something. Being with God is an accomplishment. What would you say to a non-believer, though?
Oh, open your eyes, please. There's so much more, you know. You know, get out of the way, you know, things like that. I'm very understanding of people that doubt or that don't believe, you know, and I'm not condemning of anyone. I want everybody to succeed. I know what it's. I know what we've got in store for us. I want everybody to make it. I do. I don't want anybody to fall. I know what happens if we don't make it. I've seen that side. It's not very nice over there, too. And, you know, we're capable of such wonderful things in love. So I hope people can learn, you know, by example if need be, but to learn how to get out of the way of themselves, you know, how to stand up but more so how to really exercise faith, because when we do that, we have everything. Jesus told us that, and I'll remind everybody of what he taught me. Literally, if you don't have faith, then you don't have anything. You literally don't have anything. Faith is what brings us things. And if you exercise your faith right now together, you put your hands together and you start praying faithfully for something, by the grace of God, you will receive that as long as you keep faithfully praying and believing onto that. I mean, clearly there's got to be, you know, selfless motivational reasons for that to be received. You can't just put your hands together and say, God, I need $1 million, and you expect to have it. I mean, there's got to be purpose. You know, so I encourage everybody to really to pray, you know, start working on a relationship with God. Put your hands together and start building that. There's something wonderful out there, and I hope we get to it as a whole society. You know, we're capable of it.
Exactly. Well, we're going to take another commercial break, and we'll be right back after this.
Okay.
There's only one station that will keep you happy, Blog Talk Radio. We're taking more of your calls at 347-426-3751. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Well, we're back on the air with James Martinez, who's been giving us his spiritual insight and his way to the heaven, to the higher power. Well, we have another caller online. Good afternoon, caller.
Hello?
Yes,
hello.
You're on air.
Yeah, it's a good thing that y'all are talking about today.
Yeah, I'm glad you called in. How's it going? How are you today?
Oh, I'm blessed.
Oh, that's awesome.
Do you have any questions for James?
Yeah, but you, like you were asking earlier, you got a lot of unbelievers out here too, though.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of unbelievers out there right now. I think what a lot of people are waiting for is, I think they're waiting for proof. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say, well, I'll believe if you can put it in
my
hand. Can you put it in my hand so that way I'll know it's real? You know, a lot of people are in that position. And I can offer something up in respects of that, you know, in terms of understanding. If you can do, let's say, a math problem, and 1 + 1 + 1 is going to equal 3, and if you get to that answer, then, you know, I think there's proof in that. I offer that to everybody who's listening, you know, whether they're, you know, a believer or a doubter or a non-believer, whatever position you want to take. I offer them this book to read, and when you read that, it will equal up to the experiences with God. This isn't something that something that any person can make up. And when you piece it all together and you do the math, and it'll all add up to God. And I think people will be able to have that thing and understand for themselves. This is real. This is real stuff. And the only reason that this is real is thanks to God, thanks to Jesus, and thanks to the Holy Spirit, because they're the ones that are allowing for me to be a part of this. So I give them thanks for everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's true. That's right.
Yep. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have problem believing. And, you know, again, I think back to what Jesus taught us, you know, without that,
that's right.
What have you got? You know, without belief, you have to just stop doubting and you have to believe. And when you believe, you can receive. You know, when you think about where you were when you were younger, someone says, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, if you don't ever know, then you can't ever get there. So you have to believe in order to receive. The same thing goes true with the Word of God. His promises to us is that we can have everything our hearts desire, as long
that's
as we
right.
believe
that's right.
on to him.
Yeah,
well,
that
awesome.
Is true. But how would you respond to someone if they were to question that you sound like you're trying to say you have to meet these certain conditions to become one with God?
Wow. You know, I think that we're all capable of it, but I think there are steps to get there. It's like enlightenment. If you think about enlightenment, you can't just decide one day, I'm enlightened, and then boom, shine. You have to go through steps to get there. Or how about a marathon runner or a long-distance runner? You can't just proclaim that you're a long-distance runner and get out there and go run a marathon. You have to train for that kind of stuff. So the same thing goes with this. You have to learn how to be a certain way to be able to be in the presence of God. I didn't make these rules up, but I can tell you right now that when God has people around him, he's going to surround himself with all these wonderful people that he calls to him. You know, and I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about God our Father. I mean, think about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to call all these wonderful people to him in heaven. What about all the other ones out there that don't believe and that are being the kind of person that he's asking them not to be? Is he going to call them all over to him and say, hey, by the way, you can come over here too? I think that's part of what we're doing here is he's trying to get us to build our relationship with him so that we can be around him. And I think that takes practice, you know, and that takes faith and it takes trust, it takes belief. If you think about the relationship you've ever had with, let's say, your best friend, you know, you call your best friend up, right, on a regular basis. You ask, how you doing? You ask,
yeah.
You know, you want to do something with him. You go and you make plans and y'all do things together. Y'all's relationship goes stronger and stronger and stronger. Same thing with God. If you keep him over there on the shelf and you go talk to him once every now and again or only when you're in trouble, what kind of relationship is that? Does that say, hey, I'm only going to call you when I need you, right? I mean, that's not a real relationship, I think. That's more of a I'll get to you later kind of thing. So I think there are steps to an attainment of that oneness. But if you look at what Jesus showed us, and I hope that I'm going to be able to be an example like that, because God, I pray that I'm like Jesus every day. I do. He's a wonderful person. You know, and if we can take these steps to an attainment and walk and live in that way every day, I think that we can all draw to these as one relationships. God, I hope so. That's really what I'm praying about.
Oh, yeah. Now, even though we have a little time left on the show, you can still call in at 347-426-3751. James, what actually qualifies you to do what it is you do?
Wow. You know, I think God qualifies me. Before this happened, I didn't feel like I was qualified for anything. I didn't. I know that it's because of him blessing me with these experiences that he's made me qualified to be able to speak with an understanding of the Word of God. You know, I can open up the Holy Bible and I can understand any passage that we read and apply it into, you know, whatever question needs to be answered by whomever's answering it or asking it. And if I don't have the answer, God will give me the answer. I don't just profess to have all the answers. I don't. Only he does. But I can say that because of the gifts that he's allowed for within my life, I'm able to be an instrument of him and help relay that information. So I think that he qualifies me.
Okay. Now, we do have our other caller on the line. Caller?
Yeah, it's me.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, y'all were talking a good thing today. Like, if you know God is...
Sorry, go ahead.
Is there another caller, too, from 770?
Yes, is this me?
Hey,
yeah.
How are
you're
you?
On the air.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
Doing wonderful.
Okay, this is Ontario. This is Ontario calling.
Hey,
good to meet you, Ontario.
Okay. I really caught the end of what you guys were speaking about, but whoever this gentleman is, he was absolutely on the money, and especially when it comes to the friendship scenario he gave. And yeah. I believe in Jesus Christ to the highest power. But sometimes, you know, when you guys were referring to following, now sometimes I have strayed as a follower. And what made me stray as a follower were the fellow followers because, you know, in most Christian base, they are so judgmental. It's like, you know, I found God and I'm enlightened and I got the way and everything you're doing is wrong and you're going to hell and that's just not fair. And I feel, you know, you have to show a person the way to God. You have to be that enlightened person, and you have to lead by an example, like the gentleman was saying. And it's so hard to push a sinner away.
It is. Yeah. Definitely. I agree with you on everything you're saying right there. You know, the hardest part for anyone is to stay focused. And I try to look at that focus, like, try to imagine like a bright light right above you. And you're looking at that bright light and you're walking in that forward direction. You got to keep your perspective of the direction you're walking in, but you don't want to lose sight of that light. So when you're walking that way, try to imagine as God being that light who's shining on everything that you're walking towards. And I know it's beautiful and out there and it's wonderful. You want to keep your eye on that, but don't ever take your eye off that place that is giving you that light for the ability to see all that. So that's how I try to keep the perspective of the direction that I'm going in. I know what God has blessed me with, and I thank him. But every day is that step, that walk. I know the direction we're walking in, and I know it's because of him I can see everything that's out there. You know, so I thank him in that respect. But, yeah, you know, you got to be mindful of those others that are out there, because there are some that try to pull you or to – that give you that bad example or that tempt you or that try to mislead. And, you know, that stuff's going to be that stuff. You know, there's stuff that's out there like that. Try to pay no mind to it. You know, if you want to be the best example for anybody, just pray for them. You know, if you see somebody struggling like that.
I mean, as far as, like, the example that I'm being, I am, like, 30,000 times better with God now because I really understand his way, I really understand his light. And as I tell my friends that I try to pull to outside, to God's side and get them on the right path, I tell them, it's not about, because, you know, a lot of followers are afraid. And they say, well, you know, it's too tough being perfect. And he's never asking you to be perfect. He's just asking you to be mindful of the things and mindful of his commandments.
That's
saying,
right.
Do not become a slave to drugs. Do not become slave to sex. Do not become slave to worldly things. It's okay to indulge in those things, but just do not put them first as your God. You keep as your God.
That's right. Yeah. You know, it's a wonderful example.
We're all not perfect now.
Yeah. You know, the things that God taught me, though, in that relationship, in that respect, is that when you have that, your most important thing that you do, like you're saying, you make him first in everything that you do, whether it's going to, you know, go dancing to celebrate something, going to have a beer, celebrate a promotion, or, you know, going to church on Sunday, whatever it might be. When you have him first at every step that you're going, it's okay to go and do things. It's okay to go and do everything. But when something takes the place of him being there first and you want that more than you want him, then there's a problem, or that's when an issue
shows up.
Then
it becomes a problem.
Yeah. And that's a powerful statement. Wow. I'm glad you shared that. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. How could I get in like contact with you, brother?
Well, you know, you can send me an email at james@james-martinez.com, and I'll respond. My contact information will be on the follow-up email. But just so we know real quick, I'm facing some persecution right now that has a lot to do with I dropped everything so that I could come and do these things with God. But I still have a past that I'm having to deal with. So I might have to go and take care of some things. And I know, again, it's God moving me to go and take care of these other things for other people. But if I don't respond back to you right away, I will get back to you as soon as I can.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine, brother. And, you know, we all go through persecution. And when we're going through persecution, that just means we're doing something right with God, and God is moving in our lives.
That's right. That's right. I count it all joy. I'm standing upright with him. I'm smiling. I'm okay with all those. That's wonderful, though. Yeah, I've got a website out there. It's www.james-martinez.com. If anybody would like to check out the story, feel free to check out the website. There's a few of them out there. They talk about the experiences I've been a part of, and it all points to God. And I really hope that everybody, you know, makes their way closer to him. He's a wonderful person. He's the best person I know.
Okay, and that's fine. And, you know, I also have my own show and segment, and it's I Speak the Truth with Antario Riggins. And, you know, we kind of talk about a lot of these things. So, you know, I'll connect with you, you know, through, you know, Technisha, and you know, really just let you know how things are going with that.
Looking forward to it. Drop me a line. I'll be happy to connect with you.
Oh, absolutely, brother.
But we're running short on time. So, guys, I really appreciate everyone for tuning in today. And all of you have a blessed one.
Thank
absolutely,
you so much
guys.
For having
yeah,
me on the show.
Have
thank
a
you.
Bless you.
God bless you.
You too. And right. God bless you, my listeners, for tuning in. And tomorrow will be another blissful show. We'll be talking with Nelson Nigel. He'll be giving us a background of the business, talking about procurement. So tune in tomorrow at 12 on The Bright Side with Technisha.
Awesome. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Technisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.